Okay, this is just a brief introduction of and generalities of the subjects that you will have to take in this course in computer vision. Computer vision is defined in this way. It's a science that develops a theoretical and algorithmic base by which useful information is obtained and analyzed about the world or environment. And I stress theory and algorithmic base. So I will teach you the theory behind useful algorithms to process images to carry out some task that we consider important. For example, a useful application for medical purposes or for production purposes would be to know how many pills are in the image. Okay? I will teach you to do things like that. Count how many objects are in the image. Why can this be a difficult thing? There's several sources of it being difficult. Not all the pills are complete in the image. And some are top side, some are bottom side up. So they have different colors. And some are dented. Okay? So determining how many pills are there in this image requires knowing that they can be in different colors, different positions, not completely visible, okay, and in different poses with respect to the camera. Another useful application in which we work in computer vision is people following. So if you want to know how far is a person, we do this with in the robotics group. We have an application to follow a person with a stereo camera. So you set the robot behind you, you start walking, and the robot is going to follow you all around, keeping the distance at 1 meter. How does the vehicle know that the distance is 1 meter? It needs two cameras. What if you only had two cameras? If you only have one camera, then you have no idea of how deep or how distant the things that you see are. It's a bearing-only sensor. You only know angles, but not distances. And that's why we have two eyes, so that we can judge distance by the distance between the cameras and the discrepancy between the images. This can only be done, depending on the distance between the cameras, with precision up to a certain distance. That's why we can't judge the distance of something that is very far away, because the relative distance between the object and our distance between the eyes is too large. Okay? Usually, you can judge distance with a stereo camera up to 10 times the distance between the cameras. That's why we judge a meter or so, not much more, with good precision. Anyway, we process stereo images and do things like disparity to determine what is the distance to the object or the person and to follow this person. We also process one image, two images, or a sequence of images. I think this video is not, fortunately, I didn't set it up to work correctly. But of course, computer vision is also concerned with processing a video sequence. For example, to have a vehicle turn around in this room and then map the room and tell you how the full room looks in a 3D model. That is something that we also are concerned with in computer vision. So why is this problem complex? There are some reasons, of course, why we think it's interesting. There are applications that we find interesting, but is it difficult or is it complex? Well, it depends on many factors. The first thing is that what we will always deal with here are optical sensors. So we will assume that the camera is an optical camera and you obtain or you sense the luminosity of the objects in gray level, like in the applications that we're going to work on, or in color vision, like this. This is an application of the University of Malaga, of a robot that can pick the oranges from the trees. Okay, so it processes colored images to find out where are the orange spheres and pick them to collect them. So we also would consider colored images, but these are not the only types of sensors that we have available for computer vision. There are also sensors that are called range sensors. These sensors don't give you the luminosity of the objects, but the distance. They are actually laser sensors. So So if you compare these two images, which are from the same point of view, you will see that the optical image gives you the amount of light that returns from the object, okay? This range image, on the other hand, gives you the amount, the relative distance between the sensor and the object. That's why everything that's on this wall is more or less the same color, dark, which means far, and everything that's around here is lighter because it's closer to the camera. Okay? Let me show you another example of this range sensing that maybe make it more clear. This is a very old laser camera, and you also had the intensity image of a hole, and this is the range image of the hole. So what, as you can see, you have measured the distance to many points in the scene. One point per pixel in the image, basically. So you have both images, and they give you a complete description of how the objects look and at what distance they are. So we would also process these type of images. There are many other more complex examples, like radiography, X-rays. Basically, are images that show how different materials or elements respond to the X-rays. So the bones that you know respond highly, and the flesh responds has a very low response, and that's why we never see it in the X-rays. Tomography is also a type of images coming from medicine that allow us to analyze the different tissues that are present in a certain scan of the body. There are echolocation images, which basically are, it's like the laser range image, but at a very large scale. So with a sonar echolocation sensor, you can measure very large distances to measure, for example, the altitude of mountains, like in this example. And this is an infrared image that I found just yesterday. And what do you think an infrared image measures? What do you think infrared images show you? It's not the color of the cat. It's a cat, of course, but it's not the color. So why will this be lighter and this will be light? You know?
It shows the warmest place of the body.
Okay, the temperature. Okay, so infrared sensors measure temperatures. And things that are warmer look lighter, and things that are cooler look darker. Okay? And of course, we could also analyze these type of images. So I was telling you one source of complexity is the different types of sensors that we have. The main problem with computer vision is the enormous distance between the information that you get from a camera and what you actually have to respond as the solution to your problem. So an image is basically a sequence of bytes. So if you look very closely, you will get 0, 200, 150, a sequence of bytes. And they may correspond to this image or this image. And the application that I want to work on, for example, in this case, is automatic driving. So I want to analyze the image to decide which part of the image is traversable road. Can I go this way? 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 That's what I want to do, okay? Why is it that's going to be complicated? Well, you can see that the road is marked because it's lighter, but there are shadows, okay? So is this an object in the road? It's a shadow. Is this an object? That's an object, okay? So deciding from the sequence of pixels, what is an object, where is the road, what is a shadow, that's a very complex problem, and that's what we deal here in computer vision. This is another application. It's garbage separation. So you have to take an image and then decide, so this is plastic, I have to put it this in this way. This is an aerosol, and I have to put it in another bin. And this is organic, so I have to put it some other place. These are very complex, but actually running applications of computer vision. That's the type of things that we want to do. As I said before, the main difficulty is that there's an enormous distance between the information that you get and the information that you have to return. So the information that you get is always in, or mostly in the form of what's called a pixel, which comes from a picture element. It's a contraction. And of every one of those pixels, you know its position and the gray level or color level value. And this is what you have to return as the resulting information, identity, shape, position, orientation, and description of all the objects of interest present in the image. So if you look, I'm sure that with digital cameras now, you've looked closely at what an image of this type looks like, and you will see that you can actually see the pixels. Okay? This was less common some years ago, but I guess that now everybody is aware that that is the case. And if I look very closely, I will see there's one pixel here of color 2, color 3, color 4. And I have to return as an answer, as I said, this is letter Z, this is letter B, and this is number 8. Okay? So that's one reason why this is a complex problem. There are other reasons why computer vision is complex, even for humans. And I have these are rather old examples of the complications that you can have when analyzing images. Apart from the fact that you can have, as I said before, shades, occlusion, noise in the image because of the sensor, there are also difficulties in interpreting adequately what the image is actually, what type of image you're actually looking at. For example, this one could be a book that you're seeing like this or like this. So, is this close to you or is this far away from you? That's difficult to decide. And I guess that everybody knows this classical example. Who doesn't know this example? How about you? Do you see here an old woman or a young woman?
Young woman.
Okay. Anybody see an old woman? Two? Okay. Depending on what you think is the nose or the cheek of the person that you're seeing, you can see an old woman or a young woman. If this is the cheek, then it's a young woman. If this is the nose, then it's an old woman. Okay? So, let's say image recognition is very complex in some cases, even for us. Imagine for a computer using a camera. Okay? But we will try to deal with those problems in some way. Let me tell you briefly how computer vision is related to other subjects. The first obvious relation is its relation with digital image processing. Digital image processing is sometimes thought to be computer vision. It's actually part of computer vision because it only deals with the transformation of images so that they are more useful in some way. So, for example, you can take this image and you can transform its gray level scale so that the details can be seen more clearly. Okay? So, digital image processing is concerned with taking one image as input and outputting another image. Okay? Not a high level description, but only an image which is more useful in some way. Computer graphics is actually the opposite problem. So in computer vision, we will take a real image and decide what objects are in the image. And in computer graphics, what you do is take a description of this building and how it should be illuminated and produce a synthetic image. Of course, because they go in opposite directions, there is some relation between the two fields. But they are basically different things. Pattern recognition is it's a part of mathematics that is concerned with the algorithms and processes to identify objects from data, not necessarily from images. Okay, so pattern recognition deals with patterns in images on, or in sound or in many other forms, not only in computer vision. We find very useful algorithms from this field when applied to computer vision. So computer vision is one of the applications of pattern recognition algorithms. Of course, computer vision is also part of artificial intelligence because one of the most powerful sensors that many intelligent systems, like we think we are, is actually vision. So vision is very important to allow a system to behave intelligently in an environment, whatever that means, whatever behaving intelligently means. So computer vision is a part of artificial intelligence. There's also some part of psychology that studies how the human vision system works. And we have found some useful results from what's called psychophysics that can be applied to computer vision. So also in some obscure and you could think of distant fields like psychophysics, there are some useful interactions with computer vision. There are many applications currently for computer vision. Medical diagnosis is one recent and very important one, but you would be amazed of the amount of different things that you can usefully do with computer vision. This is a recent application for the European Union. They want to take images of the olive fields to count the amount, the number of olives, olive trees, because the farmer gets a subsidy depending on how many olive trees you have. And you can imagine if you have to do this manually, that would take an enormous, enormously high effort. So they scan, they travel with planes, flying at low altitudes to take images like this, and then a computer vision algorithm tells you how many olive trees there are. Recently, it has been discovered that some farmers actually bought plastic flat things that look like olive trees. They would put them in the field so that the camera would think that they were olive trees. So you can, this is co-evolution. We work on these applications and the people work on ways to overcoming it. But that's just a joke. Okay, that's just one example. Let me briefly, just to finish, give you some general ideas of how we will consider the images that we will process. Of course, in theory, an image is a two variable function over a rectangular area. And the function basically is, if we are only considering optical sensors, is the intensity of light that the sensor gets from a certain x, y coordinate of that rectangular area. If you look at this image as a function, this is what you get. So the lighter pixels are actually things that reflect a lot of light, and the darker pixels reflect much less light, and that's why they are lower. Okay? So ideally, an image is a continuous function, which tells you how much intensity of light you get from a certain XY coordinate. It can also be sonar, it can also be infrared, but let's talk from now on only about the intensity of light reflected. So the intensity of light is always going to be a positive value and always is going to be bounded. So it will be greater than zero and less than infinity. And in a simple way to model this this function, we use two components. We say that the amount of light that the sensor detects in a certain pixel comes from two sources. One is called the illumination, and the other one is the reflectance. So the illumination is, of course, the amount of light that you put in the scene. When you put on the lights on, or when there is the sun, there's a certain amount of light that gets in the scene, and that's going it's going to be different for every region, and that's going to be the illumination. And then the other component is the reflectance. which depends on the material. So this material has high reflectance, that's why it's white, okay? And this material has very low reflectance, and that's why we see it black. Basically, we don't see the light that inside in this material, okay? So the illumination is going to be positive and bounded, and the reflectance is going to be between 0 and 1. 0 means total absorption, and 1 means total reflectance. Okay? This is the simple way in which we are going to characterize this image function. And of course, ideally the image is a continuous function, but we're going to process it with digital computers, so we can't even represent continuous functions. We have to discretize the images in some way, and we do it in two different ways. The first one is what we call resolution, is the sampling rate of the image, or if you want in simpler terms, is how many pixels constitute the image. And of course you can take an image at different resolutions and you get different results. This would be the image of this bird at 128 square pixels. The same image at 64 pixels loses some detail. It also happens here. And if you take an image of very low resolution, you might not even be aware of what type of animal you're seeing, right? So there's a certain resolution that is going to be minimally required for your application. Why would you want to have the resolution as low as possible? Because this determines how much information you have to process. Okay, so you don't want to have the most detailed and big high resolution image of everything, because that gives you a lot of information to process. So in computer vision, we always have as goal, use the minimal resolution required for an adequate functioning of your application. Okay? Of course, you can see that if you have less resolution, the pixels are larger, or each pixel represents a larger area in the scene. That evidently has to do with the resolution that your image has. So this is one way in which we discretize the image, and the other way is what we call quantization. Quantization is the number of levels of intensity in which we classify each pixel, which in the case of gray level images can go from, usually, from two levels, which is black and white, to 256 different levels, or it can be higher still. Of course, this also determines the amount of information that you have to process. Many very useful algorithms actually were developed originally only for binary images, and the reason is obvious. You can, in many cases, still recognize the person that you're seeing, even if you only have a binary image. So in many applications, even only a binary image is sufficient for the needs that you may have. Okay? So that's the two ways in which we discretize an image, resolution and quantization. And then finally, let me give you an example of, I'll skip these details for tomorrow. I want to give you an example of the different levels of processing that we are going to carry out in this course. The first level is the pixel level, and that pixel, at that level I will teach you algorithms to transform each pixel, depending on its gray level, to a different gray level, for example, to enhance the contrast of the image. If I have this image with a low contrast, I can't see very clearly the objects that I'm looking for, so I can do this algorithm for contrast enhancement. These type of algorithms are very fast because you can do them on what's called a lookup table. A lookup table is just a vector like this, which says for every gray level in the original image, transform it to a certain value in the resulting image. For example, if you want to make the a gray level image binary, that process is called thresholding. You can just say, okay, up to this point, which is the threshold, every pixel will be 1. And from there on, every pixel will be 0. And if you process that an image in that way, you will get the binary image. What if I have to do an inversion of an image? So how should my lookup table look like? If I want to have the negative of the image, what value do I have to put in zero? Hmm? 255, and in one? 4. So it's the opposite. It's 255 minus the level. That is the lookup table to obtain a negative of an image. All these algorithms that can be stated as a lookup table can be executed incredibly fast. So most processors of cameras also already do this stuff by hardware. And I will teach you some basic algorithms, of this type. Then at the local level, we also will learn algorithms. Mingo will tell you about these. That not only they require one pixel of the image, but a region surrounding the pixel. So for example, smoothing is one algorithm of that type. You, for each pixel in the original image, you look at the region and compute the mean, for example, and assign the mean of the local region. So you can't do this with a lookup table because you need to have not only the original pixel, but the surrounding pixels also. Okay, that makes it more complex. But there are still some hardware that is capable of doing this. Basically, the single instruction multiple data hardware is capable of processing this in real time. The third level of processing that we will carry out is called the global level. For example, one useful algorithm that I will tell you about is called computing the histogram. The histogram is a vector that says how many pixels of each gray level you have in the image. Okay, so there's more than 3,000 pixels of maybe 100 intensity gray level in this image. Okay? Of course, it's a global algorithm because you need all the data to compute the histogram. It's not like you can process each of the elements individually to compute the result, but you have to add them all up. Okay? So this is one type of processing. This is a simple example, but in more complex cases, you will slow down the system because of these algorithms running. And the final level, of course, is being able to identify the objects that you see in the image. In the case of 3D vision, this is especially complicated because objects in 3D have different poses. One can occlude the other, but it's still the purpose of the computer vision system to try to decide, okay, so this is the house box, this is the big box, this is the small box, and this is exactly where they are located. Or these blue ones are the small ones, then this is a case of misclassification. The thin ones are the green ones, and the less thin ones are the red ones. This classification is the top level of processing, and of course it's the goal of the algorithms that I will explain. And in some cases, it's the more complex algorithms that we will have to deal with here. Okay, that's I think a very fast introduction of the subjects that we will follow in this course in computer vision. Any questions? I will the slides are available from last year, but I am updating them. Okay, so I will tell you when you can look at them at any moment, of course. But I will tell you when each of the lessons has been updated in case you want to have the most recent version of the slides, and you can just download them from the web page. Okay? No questions? So see you next Wednesday.